This Week in Health with Dr. Declan Matthews, kindly sponsored by the Clockgate Pharmacy.
Right, we're going to kick off there with the interview, Declan. Right, we'll start off. 31% of the population are now fully vaccinated, and I think it's 73% have received their first dose. This is really great news, isn't it?
Absolutely, it's excellent, and it's really, really good. We seem to be doing particularly well in Cork, because I know one or two people in Dublin who are coming up to being 40 very, very soon, who registered and haven't about 2 or 3 weeks ago, but haven't heard anything yet, because I know people around the exact same age who registered in Cork and are done by now. Seems to be, I think, supply a little bit of an issue at the moment, but I think in the next few weeks it'll improve again.
I think, like, when we started doing the interviews first, or not even the interviews, but like started talking about the vaccines, like, you were very frustrated with the rollout. I mean, it's completely upped its game.
Absolutely, it has upped its game, and it's gone really, really well. And it wasn't easy. As I say, if you remember, they had something like 28 or 29 different changes along the way. Originally, we were, as GPs, we were all going to be giving out AstraZeneca. Then suddenly overnight that changed, and we had to adjust to give out the Pfizer one. And I mean, all that sort of changed, but we all adapted and we all did it, and it worked out really, really well. So no, I think credit where credit is due. The HSE have played a blinder on this one.
Yeah, they have, in fairness. There are now just 54 patients in hospital with COVID from a high of 2020 in January. Things are definitely nearing the end, I think, I hope.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, you know, I mean, you're still a little bit, is the 300 and something yesterday people getting it? Now, I know these are all sort of young, healthy people. And in one way, that's fine, because they're unlikely to end up in hospital. But if they end up with long COVID, they're going to end up sick for quite a while. There is sort of a new thing come out in the last few days where people who get long COVID have, or people who get COVID itself, have an increased risk of developing type 1 diabetes. These are sort of things that are coming out. So in one way, you're better off still to avoid it like the plague.
Okay, and we might just chat there about the Delta variant. Is there different symptoms for that?
Some people say that there is, but that there's a lot of sort of runny noses and sort of itchy nose and that sort of stuff with it, and sneezing with it. But I mean, it's still going to be aches and pains. It's still going to be flu-like illness.
Will the vaccines work against it?
They will work against it, probably not quite as much as we'd like, but they will work really well against it. And I mean, the point about the vaccines, if you have a vaccine, even if it doesn't work fully against it, you're still guaranteed you will not end up sick in hospital if you get it.
Okay, well, that's something, I suppose. Why is the chief medical officer so against antigen testing? What's your opinion?
Could you ask me an easy question, please? Because I am not 100% sure why the chief medical officer is so against antigen testing. I suppose, just to explain a little bit, antigen testing is slightly different. There's two types of testing. There's antigen testing and there's PCR testing. Antigen is cheap. It's, again, a nose swab. And it's basically just detecting some protein that's usually on the virus. PCR test is slightly different in the fact that it is looking for antibodies to the virus. Now, so the antigen test, if you don't have much virus in you, the antigen test could be negative. But equally, if you have a lot of virus in you and it's positive, it's positive. PCR test is much more accurate. PCR test is much dearer. It's around 100 to 150 euro a shot to do. Whereas antigen tests, I think you can buy them for about a fiver and little at the moment. You know what I mean? So they're much cheaper. They seem to be very much against it. And in one way, I can understand this, because really we live in a country that sort of runs on blame culture. And if they make a decision about antigen testing, and then if it goes wrong, in a year or two time, there'll be people on the Joe Duffy show for hours on end giving out about it. There'll be inquiries about why we don't have a public inquiry into this, where it went wrong. So I think in a way, they're almost afraid to make decisions because of this blame culture. Other countries are using, Germany's using antigen testing, Canada's using antigen testing, and they're managing it fine. The thing with antigen testing mainly is, if you're positive, you're definitely positive, right? So if you're going to go to a show, we'll say, or whatever, out for a meal, and you antigen test and you're positive, you can't go, and that's it. If you're negative, it doesn't tell you you're definitely negative. You could still have the illness, and that's really the problem. But antigen testing positive means you definitely have it. So that's really, as I say, I think they're just afraid to make a decision.
And that's the frustrating part. You see, they're so slow to make decisions, and then weeks down the line they could say, oh, it's okay to use it, and then like we're after missing so much time where people could have been doing things. They're very slow to make decisions.
They are very slow to make decisions, and I think what they're trying to do then is they try to do their own surveys just to see how it suits here. But we have massive information coming in from other countries, and these are other countries whose medical systems we trust implicitly. Why we just can't go on that information, I'm not sure.
Like, also, there's 54 people in hospital. Obviously, it would be better if there's none, but 54. And pubs and stuff are still closed. Like, in restaurants, you can't eat inside. It just doesn't seem to make sense.
It doesn't, but look, you do get the feeling we're there. We're getting there, you know. I was in Kenmare for the weekend now, and you certainly felt a little bit freer. Funnily enough, you're still sort of, if you saw a crowded pub, you'd be a bit reluctant to go in at the moment, wouldn't you? You know, for another week or two. You would, Liz.
No, I'm sorry, I have to disagree. I would go in. Anyway, moving on. What is happening at the moment with the second shot of the AstraZeneca?
This is another great one at the moment. People have had their first shot of AstraZeneca. They're waiting the 12 weeks for their second shot. And 12 weeks is a long time. It looks like that's going to come down to 8 weeks. But it seems to be going to come down rather slowly. And there is an awful lot of evidence to say that if you've had one shot of AstraZeneca, you are probably almost even better off to get a second shot of some other one, Pfizer or whichever. And there is surveys and there is trials to prove this. But they just seem to be reluctant to go down that route. I don't know why, but certainly, you know, you would imagine if somebody was 69 and a bit and they got their first shot of AstraZeneca, then when they're over 70, should they get a shot of something else? It's very difficult to know. I think they're going to try and move it on, let's put it that way.
Okay, and finally, pharmacies, some local pharmacies, not all, are now doing vaccinations. I mean, that's other good news, isn't it?
That's great news, because in fact, originally we'll say there was something like 13 or 14 or maybe 1,500 GP surgeries in the country that were doing vaccinations, and they did most of the elderly and the vulnerable. It's only about 500 or 600 now practices are actually going to continue on doing it. So it's good that the pharmacies, and as I say, I know you had Anne-Marie Power in from the Clockgate here the other day, and they're doing it, and it's great that they're doing it. And they're going to try and pick off the people who may have missed it for whatever reason, either for illness or
maybe
travel,
reluctant
or travel. And maybe people who sort of were reluctant and now have had time to think about it and decide maybe I should have it. So I think it's brilliant that pharmacies are doing it.
And it's not easy for everybody to travel up to Cork. It really isn't. Like, if they have to use public transport and then trying to get out to Páirc Uí Chaoimh and things like that, it isn't easy.
No, it's not easy. And it, especially if you're depending on, you know, it's all right to sort of say if you're depending on people to bring you, but, you know, travelling in a car with somebody who you're not living with isn't a great idea at the moment, having to wear masks in cars. So it would be much more convenient if they could have it done here.
Okay, we leave it at that. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Liz.